Claudine Hemingway is a descendant of famed writer Ernest Hemingway. We bumped into each other at a party and decided to team up and dive deep into French history, but with a twist, by bringing a spotlight to those lesser-known creatives in France. This is History with a Hemingway.
Hey guys, I'm back with Claudine, and we are celebrating our 200th episode. It feels like yesterday we started the podcast, and now we are up to 200 just of Claudine alone. So thank you guys so much for listening. And to celebrate, today we are talking about Chagall. We're talking about the beautiful Paris Opera House that he painted the ceiling of, and Claudine's going to tell us more.
Yeah, I loved the ceiling, and it took me a really long time till I could finally get to see it, and we'll give you some kind of clues of how you could see it too. But Marc Chagall is one of my very favorite artists, so he was the perfect thing to talk about for the 200th episode. I always love his very dreamy, colorful paintings that he does. It's of, like, you know, people floating through the air, and they're just so beautiful. And, you know, he died in the 20th century, so it's not like, you know, we're looking at a painter from long ago. Like, I was alive when he died.
Yeah, I mean, he's not so long ago compared to most of the people we talk about.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, we've only maybe talked about one or two people that have been alive. But we're going to have an episode coming up pretty soon that we'll be talking about somebody that's alive. And they're one of my favorite people. But we'll get to that later. So Chagall, you actually cannot find that many of his paintings in Paris. The Pompidou has a few paintings, and of course the ceiling, but just recently, it just closed in February, the Pompidou did a special exhibit that was pretty much all about, the majority of it was all about the opera ceiling, and it was fascinating. So I soak up anything I could find about it. So the Palais Garnier, it's obviously one of the most beautiful buildings in Paris. It was inaugurated in 1875. And right now, unfortunately, the facade is completely covered as they're redoing it. But it is one of the most beautiful buildings, even from the outside, but definitely go on the inside. In 1872, artist Jules Eugène Le Penfaux painted the dome ceiling in the Salle des Spectacles, which is the theater itself. The Triumph of Beauty, Charmed by Music, was the theme. It was among that was the Muses, the nine Muses of Zeus. And then also it showed the hours of the day and night. And it hung over the theater for 90 years. So it was created on copper plates and attached to a steel structure. And it was damaged over time because the gas lighting chandelier hung down in the center of it. And all of that heat on the copper was not a very good mix with paint on it. On February 20th, 1960, there was a gala for the president of Peru. And Marc Chagall attended with his good friend, who was the minister of culture, André Malraux. Chagall had designed the stage sets for Ravel's Daphne and Chloe, and Malraux loved it. So while looking up at the ceiling, sitting there in the theater, he asked Chagall to design a new one. So for over a year, at the age of 77, Chagall sketched out more than 50 designs using every medium that he had. And all these things were in the Pompidou. So it was pretty cool. To take this large format panels, he used the manufacturer de Gobelin, which is in the 13th, and his studio in the south of France. So he was inspired, and he said, "I thought of the entire opera. I deeply felt the genius of Garnier's architecture and of Carpeaux's brilliant sculpture. I wanted the ceiling to be like a mirror to reflect the bouquet, the dreams, the creations of the actors and the musicians." And it is, I love this. And when you could go to my website, if you are, you know, not driving and you're listening to this, go to my website as I tell you about it, because then you could actually look at the pictures of each of the paintings. And it's really fantastic. When I learned about all of these, I was even more in love with it. So the final design of 12 panels is like a large flower, because he said France was like a rose, and it composes scenes from 14 major composers. It has everything from Mozart's Magic Flute, Berlioz's Romeo and Juliet, Bizet's Carmen, and Ravel's Daphne and Chloe are just a few. And I'll tell you about each and every one of them and how you could spot them. So on the outside, so it's kind of two layers. So it's almost like, think of a rose window when you're looking up at a church. So the outer circle of it, the larger one, We'll start with Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov. It's all in blue, and it tells the story of the Tsar sitting on his throne, wearing his insignia of power. Above him is a winged monster-headed Fame, and in green, the city of Moscow. On the right of the side is Walter and Bourgeois' Ebe, and was at the very center of the scene. The next one is Mozart, the Magic Flute, which is one I think most people, even if you don't know a lot about the opera, you've probably heard of the Magic Flute. It's in light blue, and a giant angel fills the blue sky while a bird or a rooster is playing the flute. Chagall, who in 1965 and 66 designed the set and costumes for the 1967 Metropolitan Opera production of the Magic Flute. Wagner's Tristan and Isolde is in green. It's leaning into Walter and Bourgeois' Daphne. The couples nestle below the Arc de Triomphe, lit up with the red of passion, and the Place de la Concorde, two of Chagall's favorite subjects, along with other Parisian monuments in there. He says, "My art needs Paris as a tree needs water." So it's really cool because not only does it have these things, and if you looked at it, you will definitely notice the Arc de Triomphe and some other rather famous landmarks like the Eiffel Tower. Berlioz's Romeo and Juliet is in green. The embracing lovers are seen with a horse's head, much like Chagall's 1911 painting of the Holy Coachman. Rameau's, this one doesn't have a specific work, but it's all in white. And it's on the illuminated facade of the Palais Garnier, which is pretty cool because you can actually see in red where he did Carpo's The Dance, also in gold. Debussy's Pelléas and Mélisande in blue, lying alongside the head of Clytia, which is sculptured by Walter and Bourgeois. And you see them from the window in a little playful reversal of roles. Then you have Ravel's Daphne and Chloe in red, along with a sheep and a temple. In the first act, the extraordinary figure of the Siamese couple are there as well. And it's really there. It's each one of them is so amazing. But this one also includes the Eiffel Tower, a recurrent motif in Chagall's painting that he did many times. In 1958, he had designed those costumes also for Georges Scribin's revisiting of the choreography of Daphne and Chloe. You also have Stravinsky's The Firebird in red, green, and blue. In the top left area, the painter with his palette and the blue and the bird. So he's put himself in theirs too. It's in green. On the right, an angel musician whose cello is also its body stands near the magic tree containing the bird. Below are the domes and the roofs, no doubt of the magic castle, and a bird, red this time, flying down towards the crown couple beneath the canopy. To one side, the young married couple, a peasant carrying a big basket of fruit on his head and an orchestra. Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake in golden yellow. At the bottom, a swan woman on a blue lake leaning backwards and holding a bunch of flowers. At the top, a surprising angel musician whose head and body are one with the same instrument. And Adams, a Giselle in golden yellow. The peasants dance under the village tree at the end of the first act. Now, in the very center of it, kind of around the where the chandelier comes down, you have four more. You have Bizet's Carmen in red. Then you have Verdi's work that he doesn't really specify. It's possibly La Traviata in yellow. Behind a young couple, a bearded man holds a half-enrolled scroll. And then Beethoven's Fidelio in blue and green. And then finally, you have Gluck's Orpheus and Odysseia in green. She is playing the lyra, and an angel is offering some flowers. So when you look up at this, it's just amazing. It, of course, was met with many objections over time for its contemporary images against the classic opera, but the Eiffel Tower and the pyramid have grown on people over time. As for the original ceiling, it is still there. Chagall was installed 7 inches below, and you can see a small copy of the original in the Museum of the Garnier, but it's a striking difference of Chagall. And there's still people today, just last year, a group was trying to get a petition going to remove it, Chagall's, and bring back the old one. In September 1964, the Chagall ceiling of the Garnier was inaugurated, and since then, people have been able to see this beauty while attending a ballet or even a visit. But since they closed the hall during rehearsals, which is all the time, you could check on their website the day you want to go, and it sometimes lists it, but I'll tell you from experience, it took me 6 visits. And every time I'd select a date, I'd look on the schedule and it would say that it should be open. And the first 5 times, every time I went, it was closed. So I could not go in there and see the ceiling. Finally, on the 6th time, I just happened to be walking by and I thought, I'll just pop in there and see. I asked the guy and he said, oh yeah, it's open. So I was able to go in there and finally see it. And it's amazing. Or you could go in there and go to see a performance. It is called the Palais Garnier. A lot of people call it the Opera Garnier, but it's ballet they do now. They don't do any opera there. It's all ballet. And there's always great deals if you want to wait till the day of and roll the dice to get some great tickets. And I know that's something you love to do. But in 2022 and 23, Bella and Merit Meyer, who were the granddaughters of Chagall, they made this massive donation to Pompidou, which included a large set of drawings, ceramics, and paintings that was all in this exhibit that I saw. And I'm really, really hoping that when they do this massive renovation, when it closes in 2025 for 5 years, I really, really hope that they add all of this into the permanent collection so that you can see it anytime. But check my website. I'll put as many photos on my website as I could get on there. But it is really stunning. And if not, go to the Opera House and see it yourself, because it really is an amazing piece of work.
I didn't know they're going to be closing it for 5 years. That's so sad. It's like my favorite building in Paris.
The Pompidou is closing.
Ah, okay. I was like, wow. Okay. I knew they were closing that for a while. I was like, yeah. Oh, they're closing the opera. No way.
No. The Pompidou is closing. So they're going to do it. It was supposed to be done they were going to do it, I think, in like 2023. And it was going to be closed for 2 years. And then they decided to move it to 2025, but it's literally going to be like 5 years that it's closed. And so earlier in the fall, they were having strikes that like it was basically for 3 months. There was a strike because the staff were striking because they were pretty upset that it would be closed for 5 years. And what are they going to do?
I mean, I would be pretty angry too, being out of a job for 5 years. I have to help them somehow.
Yeah. And they're going to be doing some other things. Like they're going to, like, even the Louvre is going to show some, like they've done a partnership with all these different museums and the Louvre as well. And so they're going to be doing like some mini curated exhibitions in other museums in the city. I mean, that doesn't do a lot for the staff that's working there, but there is the Pompidou in Metz. They are building a Pompidou in the United States outside of New Jersey. And they're supposed to be doing another one that's going to be outside of Paris as well. So, but I mean, those aren't going to be done by 2025.
Very interesting. Well, yeah. We hope you guys enjoyed our 200th episode. And you haven't already visited this beautiful ceiling. You have to go on your next trip to Paris and head on over to ClaudineHemingway.com to learn more, see pictures, and book a tour with Claudine.
Thanks for listening today, guys. If you're interested in learning more about Claudine, her tours, history, and the beautiful photographs that she posts all over Instagram, tune into her website, claudinehemingway.com.